Joe Lisi, maybe one of the busiest guys in all of college football. Everything he does around the clock, you hear him on all different platforms. We're lucky to have him here every 2 weeks. So, Joe, we're a little bit less than a month away, almost exactly a month for Florida and Miami. That's a pretty big one out of the gate, huh?
Yeah, very intriguing matchup in Orlando, JT. I mean, Miami with Manny Diaz as a 7.5-point underdog, looking to make some noise in week number one. It's really a key game for both programs because whichever team could possibly win that matchup, and if they win in dominating fashion, they can possibly gain some momentum before conference play. So it's a very intriguing matchup for both programs.
The haves and have-nots. Clemson opened up a 33.5-point favorite over Georgia Tech. Now it's 35 or 34, depending on what book you're at. Is it that different now? I remember when Georgia Tech could run the ball, had some athletic quarterbacks, and especially corners that could make plays. Is that big of a difference between those two programs?
Well, I think you're seeing a transition for Georgia Tech with Jeff Collins, a new head coach from Temple. I mean, this was under Paul Johnson, a triple option attack, but Clemson's won six straight over Georgia Tech and really has dominated the ACC competition. I mean, Clemson was 9-0 within the conference last year and won those nine games by 35.8 points per game over the last 4 years. Clemson is 40-4 against ACC opponents, so I think that's right there. It's going to be very difficult for Georgia Tech to move the football. I mean, Clemson's averaged 48.7 sacks over the past four seasons, and you think about some of the talent that they lost. That's a key statistic for Dabo Sweeney and Brett Venables.
I'm fascinated by the Dabo Nick Saban connection. You saw what happened at the media days for both coaches. They were treading lightly. I think Nick Saban, after his comments leading up to how they lost and maybe the coaches not being locked in, didn't take a shot at his buddy Dabo. He took the complete high road. What are you learning about the relationship between Sabo and Dabo Sweeney going forward?
Yeah, I think it's a rivalry now. You see a younger head coach in Dabo Sweeney, and it's not just Alabama that he's beaten in recent years. It's teams like LSU, Oklahoma, Ohio State, some of the biggest programs in college football, and he's had his team ready on a national stage. I think when you see Alabama and you see the dominance within the SEC over the last 3 years, they're 26-1 against SEC opponents and have won those 26 games by 27.5 points per game, so they weren't even challenged within their own conference. And to see a team from the ACC dominate them in the national championship game, it's almost like the Mike Tyson knockout against Buster Douglas.
Joe Lisi, at Go for the Two, a must-follow. Joe, LSU made a lot of news with their locker room and their unbelievable upgrades. What was it, $22 million, whatever it was. And they're right there again in the hunt in the top 10 this year. What are you hearing about LSU?
Yeah, I like this team entering 2019, JT. This team won 10 games against 9 FBS opponents with a combined overall record of 63-53, and they won those 9 games by 16.2 points per game. A lot of pressure will fall on Joe Burrow, but it really, their momentum really hinges on week number two when they travel to Austin to face Texas and Tom Herman September 7th. If they can win that matchup, they have a secondary that held 9 of 13 opponents last year to 50% or less completion percentage. They can carry that through SEC play, and when you have players like Glenn Logan or Rashad Lawrence on that defensive front seven that only gave up 132 rushing yards per game, they could play with anybody. So I think LSU is going to be a live team within the conference, but they need to knock off Alabama. They've lost 8 straight since 2011.
8 straight it's been, huh, Joe? 8?
8 straight by 15 points per game.
Wow. The big news here in Vegas, the Pac-12 moving the game to Vegas here, the championship in 2021. There is pressure on Helton. He's focused on USC. There's a lot of outside noise in Los Angeles. Do you expect the Trojans to get off to a good start?
Well, I mean, I expect them to win their week one matchup and probably cover that number. I know that sounds crazy, but I expect them to start fast with Graham Harrell. This team has lost 5 games last year within the conference. They lost those 5 games right in the area of about 7.5 points per game, and they lost their 7 ball games last year by 9.6 points per game. They really need to get better in run support. I don't think it's the offense. It really hinges on JT Daniels' progression, but Their inability to stop the run, especially in key ball games, really hurt this team. They need to start fast, but it's an uphill battle, JT. I mean, I think they can get to possibly 7-5 because of their wide receiver play, but outside of that, I think this is a mediocre season for USC in 2019.
Joe Lisi joins us. Catch him at Go for the Two. Joe, you know, last year, UCF was ranked higher at the end of the year than Michigan, Texas A&M, Penn State. Some really good schools there overall, and this program has done a nice job not only winning and scheduling tougher games, but hanging around now in the polls. Did they take another jump up this year? Are they starting to get the recognition that they finally fought for and deserved?
Yeah, I think they're there. They obviously dominated Pittsburgh when they had the opportunity at home, and they get another chance in week number three against Stanford. So that's going to be a critical ball game. If they can knock off KJ Costello and the crew, especially in dominating fashion, I think they'll be in the top ten should they run the table and possibly could crack the college football playoff the way they played against LSU last year. But we'll see how it plays out. Darryl Mack, their quarterback, does have an ankle injury. Brandon Wimbush does transfer over. But the weakness of this team in recent years has been in the front seven. They allowed over 170 rushing yards per game last year. So we'll see how it plays out against more bigger physical offensive lines within the Power Five.
Joe, who's going to be the toughest test for Oklahoma? Texas likes to tell you that. But when TCU has that offense going, they're a lot of fun to watch. And I've been trying to handicap and get ready for this conference overall with West Virginia, Texas Tech, Kansas State, Iowa State. Is there a team in there I should keep an eye on in the Big 12?
Yeah, I think it's two, JT, and under the radar teams. I mean, Matt Campbell and Iowa State is a team that, you know, has played Oklahoma very tough, knocked them off in Norman 2 years ago with Baker Mayfield and covered the number last year in Ames. And only lost by 10 points. That being said, I like Brock Purdy at the quarterback position, and the way Matt Campbell has coached up the offensive-defensive lines, I think they can get to 8-4 and strike a couple upsets along the way. The other one is Matt Rhule and Baylor. They have a legitimate quarterback in Charlie Brewer and three big-play running backs, Hasty, Ebner, and Lovett, that could really challenge defenses, especially in the short to intermediate passing game. So I think those are two teams that you have to keep an eye out for. Outside a team like Oklahoma State, a down year last year under Mike Gundy, they could bounce back in 2019.
Hey, finally, Joe Lisi joins us. Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern talked about cell phones, distractions, attendance, lack of tailgating. It was one of the best sound bites. I know you heard that. And you travel around, you go to games, you cover the sport 24/7. Is there any concern about college football attendance going forward, or does that just come in cycles?
Well, I mean, I've gone to games, and I made an 11-hour trip just to watch Peyton Manning play in Rocky Top in Neyland Stadium back in 1997. But fans are different now. And when you get the opportunity to watch it in your home or watch it at a friend's house or a sports book, where it's high definition and you can relax and you can gamble a little bit, I think that takes a precedence over the school atmosphere. But that being said, I mean, college football separates itself from the NFL because of the tradition and the pageantry. It really is second to none. So I encourage fans to get out and watch a game.
I know you taped a TV show the other night. What else you got going on? What's new?
Well, I'll be working a Sunday show here in New York City with Sid Rosenberg, WABC 770. I'll be breaking down the college and pro game every Sunday morning with Sid, so looking forward to it.
Sid Rosenberg, who comes on with me, we started together at Sports Fan Radio Network. He's fantastic, and he's fast, and that's a big audience. Congratulations on that deal. Give Sid my best, okay?
Anytime, JT. Love the show.